Well, it's kind of sobering to think about reality, you know, and it's easy for us to bypass that reality. But where Pauline ended up was, how do we partner with God in all that he's about to do? How do we partner in God to see us have the biggest impact on our communities? There's encouragement today. You know, it isn't all heavy. God created us for great glory and to partner with him on an amazing journey. And I don't know if you saw the first slide that went by at the beginning of the presentation up there, but it talked about letting faith arise. There's an activation of faith that God desires to bring us, and that's what I'm going to talk about. It was interesting because I was in the prayer room before the service, and Dave Scott was praying over us, and God put that in his heart to pray about that very thing. So I know that that's on God's heart today. So be encouraged today because our God is great. Knowing and believing God brings the activation of faith. That's going to be a theme in what I'm saying today, is that we need to know our God and we need to believe him. You know, I'll cover this a little bit more in a little bit, but we're created to boast in God. You know, boast of his goodness. And we will joyfully boast in our amazing God. As we were out on Tuesday night walks that Pauline talked about, we met so many different people, and I sensed every night, whether I came here grumpy or tired or sick or whatever, but once I got out and stepped out and began to go out and knock on those doors, something activated in me, and there was a joy that came over me that I was being about the Father's business. There was joy that came in me that I was planting the seeds of eternity into these neighborhoods and into people's lives, no matter how big or how small they were. So we need to be a people who declare God's greatness. We need to declare that the lost are coming and prophetically speak what isn't as though it is, because it's coming. There's a seed and destiny in every man, woman, and child out there that God wants to bring to life and bring into his kingdom. The lost are coming. The kingdom is expanding. There's testimonies of healing, more like we heard today at the beginning of the service from Ronnie. It's coming. I just see in the next months, years ahead, that we're going to see flourishing home groups where we build community. We're going to have testimonies of the restorations that God has done in people's lives, of families put back together, of people being launched into their destiny, families and lives restored. And so I'm going to declare today that we will joyfully boast in our amazing God. We were created for it, you know. And we can look at methodologies and how do we reach the lost and knocking on doors and handing out tracts and all the stuff. That's all, I think, just part of an issue of obedience. What does God tell you to do? You know, will we believe him for what he tells us to do? Methodologies are in the heart of God, and he will release them to us in due time. But I'm reminded that we need to have a heart like his. To love the lost, we need his heart. You know, it's what Pauline was speaking of. There's an exchange that needs to happen in each of us. Second Chronicles tells us, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." I was pondering that very verse, I don't know, some months ago. It just struck me, the reality of that. That it isn't just that, oh, we've believed God and that we've yielded a measure of our heart to him. But he's talking about those whose hearts are completely his, he can then support them. And literally, to me, I think this means that those in whom God's heart has been duplicated. In other words, recreated, if you will. It's like now we've acquired the heart of God and it's resident in us. We can begin to think and act and understand the way he does, although he is always higher than us. You know, we're not God. So God said he is looking for those whose heart are his. God's desire is for you to grow in love and maturity. A heart that can love with his love, love what he loves and hate what he hates. A heart in which he can support with his authority and power. A heart which he can share his secrets, wisdom, and revelation. A heart so like his that when others encountered him when they encounter us. You know? And that's how the winning of the lost is going to happen. It's going to be through the power and demonstration of God as we yield our lives to Him. I was thinking the other day about the cross and about Jesus, and I remembered that time when He said, "It is finished." And I thought about that moment, you know, when Jesus said, "It is finished." And I don't know, it really struck me. It caught me that so much happened in that moment. You know, so much changed in that moment. So much opportunity was open for salvation, for reconciliation, for restoration, for healing, because of the cross and what Christ did for us there. So consider the possibilities that have opened up to us, and even that are waiting for those out there who don't know yet. And what does this mean? Surely in part it meant that the penalty of my sin and your sin had been fully paid at last. The work of winning salvation for us had been accomplished. The power of sin and death was conquered, and He demonstrated that He was able to lead us to the fullness of God's destiny. It's that seed of destiny that He placed within us. Before the beginning of time, He saw the yes in people's hearts. And He saw the destiny that He had for each of us. You know, and the word that we titled this thing by, and what Dave was praying about in the prayer room, it's time for an activation of faith. It's time for faith to arise in the church and for us to become the glorious bride that God has destined us to be. It's all through His Word. It wasn't until about 5 years ago that my heart, my spirit, awakened to the reality that we were created for glory. I had heard that, so I knew that in my knower, but it transferred down to my heart somehow that there is a glorious, joyful life that God desires us to live. We were created for it. Yet such a great salvation was only the beginning for us. It is the beginning of an amazing journey of destiny. You see, I got ahead of myself there because I got excited. It's like, isn't it exciting to worship and follow God? It's like life's not dull, you know, with God, because our God is great. Some years ago, I went to Elijah House. You guys all know about Elijah House. I went up there because I desperately needed God. I could joke and say I needed fixing, I needed repair, I needed whatever. But life was tough. This was probably about 12 years ago. And I had no paradigm for that. I just began to get a glimpse of life in the Spirit, even though I'd been a Christian for many years. I'd sat in some meetings down at the Four Square Church that were going on, some healing meetings in the early 2000 years, and my heart awakened to the reality of life in the Spirit. All I wanted to do was love God. All I wanted to do was worship Him. But I understood that there were some things inherently in me that were very broken. And I'd heard about Elijah House, and I wanted to go there. And I went through a week of pretty intensive counseling help there, and it was amazing. But during that week, one of the days, the presence of God just fell in the counseling room where I was at and on me. And the Lord met me there, and He took me into this vision that lasted about 2.5 hours, and it changed my life. But in this vision, the Lord was standing at the entrance to this cave, this dark cave. And the cave represented my heart. And there were all these corridors and dark places and hidden things in my heart. And He offered me His hand and He said, "Come walk with me. I'll walk with you through these places. And I'll reveal my heart for you." And He said, "If you're afraid, or if you're too weak, or too scared," He said, "I can carry you." So I took His hand and we began to journey through these dark places. But when we got in there, they weren't dark anymore, because I was with Jesus. And He took me through all these different places. And in each time when I came across a disappointment, a hurt, a wound from the past, He just spoke His heart to me about it, and it brought great healing. And there's so much that happened in that 2.5 hour vision in my heart, so much healing that came to me and so much perspective change. And I don't have time to go into it all now. But the last scene of that vision was we entered an opening at the other side. And I could see the hilltop that where Jesus' cross was, and it was still there. And I could see the blood stains that had run down. And I could see the healing that had been bought and all that, and the salvation of souls, but also off in the distance. You know, I know I'm seeing it, you may not be, but I could see a dark cavern over there far off in the distance, down at the bottom of the hill. And as I got closer to it, I realized that there were people crying out in agony in the pit of hell. But the Lord focused my eye on the cross, and beyond the cross, there were, you know, like Hollywood style, you know, beautiful meadows and hilltops and immense light that was the very glory of God itself. And he said, Brian, you were created for glory. So he was giving me a glimpse into the destiny that he had for me that day. He was giving me a glimpse that I wasn't created for condemnation. I wasn't created for judgment and sin. That I was created to joyfully walk in glory with the Lord. And that was a glimpse of my destiny, and it was a glimpse into your destiny. And every soul that lives in our neighborhoods, it's a glimpse into their destiny. So knowing God, knowing He is able, you know, that was one of the biggest lessons that I learned in that encounter with God in that vision, was that Jesus is able. He is able. So knowing he is able is the beginning to a new life of active faith. I believe faith is a gift that God plants in us, but I believe that there's an activation of faith that needs to happen. We'll talk more about that. We need to know our God, and we need to know that He is able. In Daniel, it tells us that those who know their God will do great exploits. Knowing God brings the revelation of His glory and kingdom. Knowing and believing activates faith for the work of the kingdom. You know, hopefully it doesn't sound negative, but I don't think we're supposed to be just sitting, you know, on our butts not doing anything. And, you know, I think that God has things He wants us to do, whether it be like Pauline and I were talking with our neighbors. We're just like, wow, these people need God so much. What are we doing to reach them? What impact are we having on them? The Apostle Paul said, for this reason, this is in 2 Timothy 1, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know who I am believed, and am convinced or persuaded that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. And I won't take time to read it all now, but as I was studying through this, I was just compelled to go back and read Isaiah 53 and all the things it talks about that Jesus endured and that Jesus accomplished for us. And so if you have time this week, it might be a good idea to do that, but I wanted to honor the time today. A great motto in Smith Wigglesworth's life, you guys all know who Smith Wigglesworth was only believe. He was a great man of faith. He would hear God tell him something, or he would read it in the scriptures, and he would go do it. My brother here, Dave, used to just confound me because he was always saying, we just need to get out and do the stuff. And that used to tweak me a little bit because I was like, well, no, you have to, you know, I had rules about that, you know. But I'm kind of more in line with that. It's like there's an activation required, and God doesn't meet me and grow my faith until I take a step down the neighborhood street to knock on that door. You know, there's something that activates in us, and there's an impartation that happens because we can't do it. He has to. So only believe. Some questions I thought of here. Well, will we believe God today? You know, as I was thinking of Abraham this morning as I was thinking about this whole topic and how he believed God. And because he knew God, it activated a level of faith in him that was It seemed reckless. It seemed ununderstandable that you would offer your son, you know, on an altar just because you heard a voice from heaven tell you. But he knew that voice. He knew whom he had believed and that he was able. You know, God's plans and purposes are consistent. God's unchanging. So even back in an Old Testament example, we see the principles of for today, in our generation, for our era. Do we know him enough to entrust our all to him for his all to be completed in us? Believing and knowing God are both essential. Maturity is possible. You know, maybe, and there's no condemnation in that statement, but it's possible and a reality that God expects us to grow up and that we can mature. Jesus told us in Matthew 13 in the parable of the tares, I'm just paraphrasing, but he said that there would be mature sons on the earth when he returns. So that's one of those only believe moments. Do you believe it's for you? Can you be a mature son and daughter or daughter of the King that knows his ways, that he shares his secrets with? Can you love like him? Can you live like Jesus lived? I think it's a resounding yes, is that it's possible because the Bible says so. So through knowing our God and believing him, it activates faith. Jesus said there would be mature sons on the earth at his return. Who would be like him? I'm kind of paraphrasing from Matthew 13, 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4, John 14, 2, and Colossians 1, 27 is where this all comes from. It's in the Bible. And it says, there would be mature sons on the earth at his return who would be like him in nature and ability, that who would be partakers of the divine nature and would do the greater works. There's a transformation that he desires to do in each of us. And in John 14, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also, and greater works than these. And 2 Peter is the one that talks about being partakers of the divine nature and having escaped the corruption in this world and its lusts. And Colossians 1 tells us that to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So remember that salvation is only the beginning. In that moment when Jesus said it's finished and then we get to a place where we can believe and accept him, we begin this journey. Beyond the cross, you were created for glory. Christ desires to dwell fully in you. God has destined us for his glory. God has also created us to joyfully exalt in him. It's interesting in the accounts of the Gospels of Mark and Luke at the cross, it kind of points out that the way Jesus died so selflessly was so different from the way anybody else had died, you know, on that cross, in agony and cursing and whatever. But Jesus died gloriously. He died with dignity. He died still communing with and doing the works of his Father. And it talks about the centurion that was there. And in the account, in Mark says that the centurion confessed Jesus as God's son that day. And in the account of Luke, it says that he gave praise to God. Jesus was about the Father's work even in his death. His steadfastness to his mission brought faith and praise to those who would see it. Grace triumphed. It made a way because it always does. That's God's grace. Jesus is our ultimate example. And you guys are probably familiar with the passage in Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him who endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Very familiar passage. And I've said already that we were created to know and share in God's glory, but we were created for joy. You know? And I think sometimes we have different definitions of joy. Joy isn't necessarily giggling with happiness, although that's a form of joy. But I think joy is resounding pleasure in something. And even Jesus on the cross, it says he experienced joy for the joy set before him. Of what? To Jesus, joy was found in knowing that he was partnering with his Father's ultimate plans and purposes. And I think we'd all agree that the Bible tells us that we are to be like him. So like Jesus, you are here to be about your Father's business. You were born to glorify the Father in the earth. You are here to demonstrate the nature and ability of Christ. And you were created for joy. Faith is rising. You know, as we believe and know our God, it activates a faith in us that allows the manifestation of the kingdom, the manifestation of the glory of God in our lives and here on the earth all around us. And another scripture that is just really relative to this is Romans 5:1-5. We'll quickly go through it. But it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. You know, I listen to Paul Keith Davis quite a bit, and he's got some amazing teachings, but he has one on sonship and the seven spirits of God, and he goes back through the biblical mandates and the account that God gave us for who we would be and how things might play out. And if you go back to the book of Zechariah, it talks about how in this age, I believe it's talking about, that there will be shouts of grace, grace. And it's like we really are a people whom God has lavished extravagant grace on. And in some ways we could say that a people least deserving have received the most grace. We have the history of Scripture, the history of history itself, the history of forerunners that have gone before us that has helped us to have a step up on knowing, about God and what he's done. But we still have to press in and know and believe him. But it's that place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Back to Romans 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loved us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So in accepting Christ, we're justified by faith. We can have peace with God. We stand in undeserved privilege. We can have confidence. We can be full of joy. We can have endurance and strength, hope confidently in him, and be known and filled with the Spirit. And I kind of did a quick word study, depending on what version you use. That one's the New Living Translation. We went to the New American Standard, and where it says confidently and joyfully looking forward to, other versions would say exalt in hope. And if you kind of trace that out, if I did my homework right, it means the idea of that means to glory, whether with reason or without, to glory on account of a thing, or to glory in a thing. It even relates to the thought of boasting in, of being so overjoyed and confident in who we believe in and what he's doing that we literally can boast in the reality of the amazing God that we serve and all that he's done and all that he's about to do. And I thought it was interesting as we were putting together our pieces of the sermon that Pauline gave the example of someone asking her, well, what was your shining accomplishment in Galway? That's a good question. And And to me, it kind of relates to some things I put down here, like what are you, what am I boasting in today? You know, what does our life boast about? Does it boast about our accomplishments, the promotion I got at work, how much money I have in the bank, on and on and on and on? Or do we just boast in the Lord? Do we boast in the goodness of our God and His greatness? Coming to Christ at salvation is only the beginning. The beginning of a journey of maturity, of freedom from sin, of undeserved privilege, of knowing God and His ways, of exalting in and sharing in His glory. You were created for glory. You were created to glory in, exalt in, boast in the plans, purpose, nature, and ability of your God. How we live matters. The example that Christ was on the earth matters. The example that some of the original apostles were mattered. How we live matters. There's so much that comes to mind as I say that, but you know, even reading the scripture, or was it Paul that said, you know, be imitators of me as I was of Christ Jesus? And I'm like, wow, that's amazing that you could make a statement like that. I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to make that statement about being imitators of me, but anyway, let's know our God. So joyfully boasting in our amazing God and His glory. You and I were created for it. We were created for glory. If we go back clear to the garden and look at Adam and Eve, and then look into the Psalms, the Psalm tells us that when God created them, that they were crowned in glory. They had amazing communion with God, and they had dominion on the earth and intimacy with God. Restoration is in God's heart and plan. And I wrote here, it will happen because of the cross and made a way for it, and even more importantly, because His word says so. Other places it says too, but one verse is Acts 3:21, where it says, heaven must retain Him, the Lord Jesus, until the time comes for God to restore everything. And this was promised long ago through His holy prophets. So there's a restoration. The fullness of restoration comes in our lives in knowing God and believing in Him, brings us to a place of unhindered intimacy with Him. It can be restored back to the intimacy that Adam and Eve knew in the garden, where we walk with God, where we see Him face to face, where we know the secrets of His heart, where we have a heart like His, where people experience Him from being around us because of His greatness. Other passages I've come across in recent years that stuck out to me were just that creation is waiting. I don't have the reference, but for the revealing of the sons of God on the earth. God's ultimate purpose was to reveal His glory to all flesh, or even to all of my flesh. Not just every man and woman and child on the earth, but to every part of me. Last year, in the home group, we did a study on Paul Keith Davis's book, Thrones of Our Souls, and it was very much about those places of dominion in our life that aren't of God. The thrones, the things that have control in our life other than the control that God should have. And it took us through a process of recognizing those and submitting them to Him and becoming more like Him. Total transformation means Christ in you, the hope of glory. Only believe. You know, when I began to realize that this is all in the Bible in the last 5 years, it awakened something in me to the possibility that I could really be the man that I somehow knew in my knower that God created me to be, but had never really known how to get there before. We need to know our God and believe that He is able. It's really, that's the simple, condensed version. But that's what it's all about. There's a transformation to maturity coming for those that will walk that journey that is huge. There's a seed of destiny in each of us to be a son or daughter of God. Maturity as sons of the kingdom. Like Matthew 13, where Jesus said, they will be on the earth when He returns. It means it's possible, and since we know he was able, then it should cause faith to arise in us, because it's what he's doing. We're called to walk in power, in the power and authority of God through Christ. We're called to look like Jesus in nature and demonstration. And that will provoke the lost to desire the God that we serve. It's the same plan that God had for the nation of Israel. He poured out so much blessing and provision on their life that it was meant to provoke the other nations of the earth to jealousy for the God that they served. But they just grumbled. They just said, oh, that's not good enough, or I hate this manna again, or when this, or what that. Instead of just exalting in the God that they served the way that they were created to do, and being a witness and a ministry to him. So believing and knowing our God, knowing and believing God brings the activation of faith. You know, like we talked about Abraham. We can know God, the secrets of his heart. He's looking for those whose hearts are his. We need to know our God and shine his glory and boast of his goodness. Because it is the season of the harvest. It says in the last days it will be the harvest season. But I've come to know that the harvest season is really primarily about maturity. It's the maturity of the sons of God rising up in the earth, showing the glory of God, demonstrating the glory of God. But there's also the other side, is that the sons of darkness are maturing too. If we look out at the condition of the world, we see that. It is getting darker out there, but we will shine brighter. So we can partner with him as mature son or daughter of the kingdom. He is able to get you there. Walking on the earth, looking like Jesus, and partnering with him and drawing all men to him. Let faith arise. So I kind of believe there's an invitation today for us. You know, and I pray today that the seeds of destiny in you have been watered. We all have them. They need water. They need to be fed by the Word, and they need to be watered by the Word, and nourished in the Spirit. And some, you might need to give your heart to him today for the first time. If there's anyone here that hasn't accepted Christ and began that journey, there's no better day than to do it. If we have ministry teams come up, if you're on ministry, feel free to come up. There's good people here who know God and hear from him and can pray with wisdom and love for you. And for many of us, maybe it's a recommitment of your ways to his. In putting this together, as God impressed it on my heart, I mean, I include myself in this. You know, I'm not preaching at you. I hope I'm sharing a word from the heart of God for us. And I've realized that sometimes I doubt. You know, and we're told not to doubt. We're told to not be double-minded. Sometimes I find that I get pleasure or joy, or I glory in something else other than God. I don't think that's quite right either. So some of us may need to commit your ways to his. Align yourself with his plans and his purposes. And corporately, it will bring greater unity as we all know our God and begin to believe and see our faith activated. I read somewhere the other day, and it just hit me that it was so true. We talk a lot about unity, and it's needed. It's required for God to pour out blessing. But we can't seek unity for unity's sake. In other words, we get to unity by seeking God, by fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. So that faith that he desires to activate in each of us, he's the author and perfecter of it. You know, what an amazing promise. What an amazing God. What an amazing Savior that we have. So fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So let's encourage each other to love and good deeds. As faith arises in us, I think we'll begin to get out and do the work of the kingdom. Look at what God's doing in some of our groups, the, you know, we're going to talk about maturity in our home group. Dave and Sherry are doing Circle Maker, and there's things that are where activation and getting out and doing the kingdom is a normal part of what we're going to be doing, because we want to see those testimonies up here of, well, I was healed, or I gave my heart to Christ, and my whole life changed. Something's changed in my heart. I'm not angry and bitter anymore. I don't fall into the vices that I used to have anymore. I've been set free. And now my life's being aligned for the plans and purposes of God. So let's encourage each other to love and good deeds. The kingdom is at hand. His glory is rising in us. The lost are in need of a revelation of his glory. You know, we're not going to talk them into the kingdom. But as we get transformed, as we believe our God and begin to step out in faith, as we know him and are intimates of him, we'll have the power and authority of God, but it will be irresistible to the world. They will want what we have. So let him have his way in you today, because like I said, the lost are in need of a revelation of his glory, and that's of the sons of God in the earth in part, and the church needs revival. And I believe we'll see it. I believe it's at hand. I believe it's near. So let him have his way in you today and begin anew a life of joyful purpose. Yeah. Be encouraged. It's all possible. It's all in the heart of God to release that into us. So, Jeremy, if you have some music you can put on. But if you have a prayer need, come see me, or these people up here can pray with confidence with you. So, Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the amazing privilege with which you've placed us in, God, and the opportunity to walk with you, to be intimates of yours, to go through the transformation process and be called mature sons and daughters of the King, God. So God, we just declare that faith is being activated today. I just pray, God, that we all just with open hearts and open hands would receive from you, God, that activation of faith that brings your kingdom here on earth, God, on earth as it is in heaven. And God, we ask for the salvations, the much fruit, the healing, the restorations, the things of your heart, the things you love to be manifest here in our midst, God. Let us walk with you, God, and partner with you. And we just say thank you, thank you, thank you ahead of time for all you've done and all you are doing. We all said.